Hallelujah. Well, let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we love You and praise You. And we magnify and we glorify Your name. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your kindness. Lord, we thank You that You loved us enough to give us Your precious Word. You haven't left us to wander or to wonder. No, You gave us direction. Father, the Word is such a sharp GPS. And what I mean is it takes us exactly where we need to go. Father, You didn't leave anything out. You want Your children to walk in abundant life, in the Zoe kind of life of God. And so, Father, we thank You the Word is our map, it's our roadmap, it's our GPS, it's our compass to getting to abundant life and living in abundant life. So, Father, as we get into Your Word this morning, we thank You for help. Lord, we're not here to hear from a man. We're not here for ideas and philosophies, theories and opinions. Father, we want to hear from heaven. So as I open my mouth this morning, Father, I thank You that words from heaven will flow through me. And Father, it will come out with boldness and utterance. And Father, we'll walk into greater this morning. And Father, our lives will be changed here today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I have yet to see a service that we've preached here that didn't have the potential to change your life. Hallelujah. And I say, that's not the preacher. That's because the content of what the preacher shares, which is the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll be a faithful mailman, but it's the mail that we long for. Praise God. Well, this is our fourth message in our series on divine healing. And hasn't it just been wonderful learning all these things? You know, we saw in the first message that it's God's will to heal and that faith begins where the will of God is known. And so if you need faith for healing, if you need healing, it all starts with knowing God's will. Because God, we know He can, but faith does not rest on mere ability, right? You know that certain people could maybe pay for your bills and pay off all your debts and things, but if you ran into them, just because you know that they can, you wouldn't have very much confidence expecting that they would. If they told you they would, then you would know that they can and that they would, and your faith or your confidence would shoot up, right? Amen. And so it begins where the will of God is known. And God declares in Exodus 15 and verse 26, He said, I am the Lord that healeth you. I don't know why people want to argue with that. I don't know why certain denominations at time, and certain preachers and certain ministers and certain Christians struggle with divine healing. Well, I don't know if it's God's will to heal. Well, I don't know if God wants me healed. He says, I am the Lord that healeth you. He never changes. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today, and He's the same forever. God does not change His idea. And we get a perfect picture of who God was with Jesus on the earth. For Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19 and verse 30, He said, I only do what I see My Father do. My will is only to do the will of the Father. So you could say it this way, that Jesus was programmed to only do what the Father wanted Him to do. Now Jesus willingly allowed His life to do that, but His program that He set Himself to was only what the Father wants. Only what Dad wants. Well, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus heal or did Jesus make sick? Did Jesus turn away people when they wanted healing? Said, nope, God's will for you is to stay sick. No, we see Jesus going about healing all that were sick. We see Jesus going about with a dynamic healing ministry. Well, He can't do that in and of Himself. He only can do that because He was programmed to do what the Father wanted. He was programmed to say what the Father said. And so when He would heal and say things like that is because that's what Dad wanted. Well, if that's what He wanted back when He said, I am the Lord that heals thee, if that's what He wanted in Jesus' times, how has anything changed today? Praise God. We don't have less just because He's not here. In fact, He said, it's advantageous or expedient that I go away. He said, it's better that I go away. Why? Because to get your answer back then, you had to go to one central location where He was. But now the Holy Spirit, God, the greater one, dwells on the inside of every one of you. You all have the healer on the inside of you. He is not changed, praise God. So we saw that it's God's will to heal. We also saw you need to know who you are in the family. That in the Old Testament, they weren't called children of God. For you can't be called a child of God until Jesus had died and rose again. For John 1 and verse 12 tells us that for as many as received Jesus, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God. Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Ruth and Esther and Jacob, they were not considered children of God. They were the children of Israel. They were called servants of God. Yes, God loved them. But how many of you know there's a different result when you're a servant and when you're a child? For example, when I'm at a restaurant and a waitress or a waiter comes over to me, I want them blessed. I want them taken care of. But I don't have as much interest in their personal life as I do my own children, praise God. They don't have as much access to me as my own children and my stuff that do. Same with your family. It's the same with God. God clearly offered the children of Israel, the Old Testament people, healing in the covenant in Deuteronomy 28. We said, this is the blessings for following me. And bodily healing was there. He said in Psalms 103, he said, I heal all your diseases. Every biblical scholar, whether they believe in divine healing for the present or not, will tell you that one of the covenant blessings of being a children, of being in the Old Testament and being a Jewish person and child, children of Israel, God's people, was divine healing. It's not even a question. Well, let me ask you a question. Does it make sense that God would give us Jesus? We would become His children and He would remove the privileges of divine healing, but yet He gave it to the servants. That would be like a waiter or waitress or someone that's at my house, that's serving at my house, maybe doing the lawn or doing the landscaping. That would be like me treating them better than my own kids. That makes no sense. God is not that way, praise the Lord. In fact, He said, I've given you through Jesus, Hebrews 8:6 says, a covenant based on better promises, established on better promises, a more excellent. Well, if He says it's better than what they had, and if they had healing, we certainly have healing in the New Testament. But you got to know you're His child. Hallelujah. And then we saw last week a moving and touching service of what Jesus did for us on the cross. The Bible says, surely He has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. And we saw that He went through so much on the cross that the Bible says He didn't even look human anymore. That the Bible said He was marred more than any man had ever been before. That He didn't even look human anymore, that He became an object of horror. Why? All the sickness and all the disease was placed on Jesus. He did that, why? Because by His stripes we can be healed, praise God. And so you got to see the sickness on Jesus. A lot of Christians know that Jesus paid for their sins, but they have no idea that Jesus also paid for their sickness. And if we want to find out about that, you need to listen to last week's service and get that in your heart. Praise God. Because you know why? You're sold out on your salvation. Christians in certain denominations that don't, and I'm not against denominations, I grew up in one. But Christians that are in some of these places that do not teach or believe in divine healing, you can't talk them out of Jesus. You can't tell them you're not going to heaven. They know in their heart. I mean, they are. I mean, Billy Graham could come back from the dead and stand in front of them. Brother Hagin could come back from the dead. I mean, Jesus could appear to them and say, you're not saved. Say, I'm saved. The Bible says so, Jesus. Yep. You're saved. What am I saying? They're confident about their salvation. But when you talk to them about their healing, they're a little iffy. You need to become as sold out to your healing as you are your salvation. Why? Because they were paid for at the same place. They're both bought and paid for. Praise God. So today we're going to go forward, and I had known kind of the direction services were going. I believe we have about 3 services left. And one of those services is going to be about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Maybe we'll combine it into one, and there'll be just 2 left. But I'm not going to teach on that today, but the Bible talks about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And many people in the religious circle say, see, healing can't be for the children of God because Paul prayed for it to leave, that thorn in the flesh. And God said, I'm not taking it away. Well, if that's true, if it was a sickness and God said no, well, then you can't be sure God's going to take your sickness away. But we'll look at that another day. That's just a little appetizer. That's my carrot. When I do this, that's the carrot. I say, what's he doing with his hand? It's the carrot. Y'all know that's the carrot now. I'm dangling the carrot. That's what I'm doing. I'm dangling the carrot. And so we're going to look at that, but also we're going to look at how to walk in divine healing, how to appropriate that in our life. And I thought maybe we'd do that today, but it seemed good in my spirit that before we teach you how to receive it, we need to look at things in our lives that could be hindering it from happening. Because you can learn to receive it, but if you don't remove the things that are hindering it, it doesn't matter if you know how to receive it because you'll be hindered from receiving it. So today we're going to look at hindrances to divine healing. And we're not going to take my word for it. We're going to see what the Bible says about it. Because isn't it amazing that God has provided healing for everybody, has he not? Amen. He said, I'll heal all your diseases. I'm the healer. But let me ask you a question. Is every Christian walking from head to toe in divine health? No. Well, but I thought, Pastor, that it was a promise of God. It is a promise of God. Is salvation a promise of God? Is it for everybody? Yeah. He said, whosoever believes. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. But let me ask you, is every human being walking around saved and on their way to heaven? No. That's just not true. Some people have absolutely rejected Jesus. So there's hindrances to receiving salvation, even though it's God's plan. Well, there's hindrances to receiving healing, even though it's God's plan. And I want to make sure that before we go forward this morning and look at what the Word says about this, that we have the right mindset. Because these hindrances are not pointed out by me or by the Spirit of God to come at you from a standpoint or an angle of condemnation. They're not an attempt to make you feel bad about yourself. I don't care if you check the box on every one of these things. It's not so you walk out of here and say, man, I'm an idiot. Man, I'm worthless. Man, I'm nobody. No, these things are pointed out for us. These things are made aware for us so we can make changes to help us, praise God. You know, when I point out things that Caleb's doing wrong, it's not because I want him to feel bad about himself. It's not because I want to hurt his feelings. It's not because I want to be mean and make him feel all guilty and things. It's because I want him to change what's wrong, to start doing what's right. Because how many of you know? It's the things you're doing wrong that are hurting you. It's not the things you're doing right. And sometimes we need to see these things that are hindering us. So if you start to get into condemnation, and this is a good rule of thumb going forward, anytime you hear the word preached and you start to condemn yourself, that is not the Spirit of God. For Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And in fact, he said in Hebrews, see, the devil will twist correction and make it look like you're being hammered on and coming down hard on you. And the devil will twist it to make correction seem that way. But yet God said about correction, and when you lace correction with the Word of God, correction's good. Because he said, I correct and I chastise those that I love. That's why I tell you all the time, man, I am so loved because I get corrected a lot. But I don't shun that correction. I don't push against that correction. I want to know, Father, what am I doing wrong? And he's so kind enough and good enough through my pastor, through the Word, through the Holy Ghost to show me where I'm doing it wrong. So I can twist that thing, make adjustments, tweak that thing, and start doing things right. So this morning, if you check off every box, don't condemn yourself, but start to praise God for how loved you are. Start to praise God for, thank you for the answers, Father. Thank you that you're teaching me how to get healed. Because ladies and gentlemen, we know that there are conditions in the Word of God. And the Bible clearly spells out that there are hindrances to divine healing. So are you ready to dive in? Amen. Amen. What other choice do you have? You're here and I'm going forward. So we're diving in, praise God. But if I ask you if you're ready to dive in, it makes you feel like you got some say in this thing. And you're more engaged, you know? So I'm just trying to help you here. But now that I said that, you know that I really don't mean it. I better just go back and preach the Word here. Hallelujah. No, I want you engaged. You don't have to be here. Obviously, we know that. That's why it's wonderful. You know, you're right here on your own free will, hungry for the things of God. Praise the Lord. Well, go with me to Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. This is point number one. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 tells us this. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice the first thing there with inheriting promises, it says through faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, the victory that overcomes anything that comes against you in the world, which would be sickness, sickness is not of heaven, so it's this world, is faith. So number one, hindrance, and these aren't in any specific order, just the way I seem good in my heart to put them, is lack of faith will keep you from receiving your healing. Didn't Jesus say in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, he said, if you can believe, anything is possible? Well, take that on the reverse. If you can't believe, then it won't be possible. Amen? You have to have faith for healing. That's why we taught you what God's will is. That's why we showed you who you are. That's why we showed you what Jesus did for you. Why? Trying to build your faith up to receive from God. Because without faith, you can't receive from God. You can't walk into divine healing. What is faith? Faith is being sold out. Faith is being convinced. Hallelujah. Remember the old example that I've used many times, what faith is? If I take this water bottle and I ask you, if I hold it out in front of me, and I release my hand from this bottle, what's it going to do? It's going to drop and hit the floor. If I ask everybody and take a poll in this place today and say, how many of you are 100% sure that when I drop this, the only result that's going to happen, just like this, is going to hit the floor? And it's not going to hover. Jeff's not going to dive and pull a Derek Jeter on us and catch it. It's just, everybody's got to stay in their seat. And I just do this and let go. Every single one of you would say 100% certainty, you know that bottle's going to hit the floor. How many of you know? That's called faith. You haven't seen it. You've never seen Pastor Mike drop this bottle of Dasani water on the floor, but yet every single one of you without seeing it would say, I know that's what's going to happen. That's called confidence in the unseen realm. That's called faith. You're certain of it. Well, when it comes to the thing in your body right now, this is where we're going to get right down to it and start exposing things. That thing that the doctor said, that thing you're taking piles of medication for, that thing that you're feeling symptoms in your body, that thing that is as real as a day is long, are you as confident that the water bottle will hit the ground, that not only does God want you healed and free from that thing, but that that is what is going to be the result in your life? If you can say no, then your faith needs work. Because faith is not uncertain. Faith is not, well, I'm kind of in. No, the Bible said Abraham received when he became fully persuaded. You can't waver, James tells us. You won't receive anything from the Lord. You say, Pastor, is it possible to be told something by the doctor? Is it possible to have the doctor show you things on paper in tests? To feel symptoms in my body? To have to take medication to keep that under control, to be going through that and at the same time going through hell on earth, be absolutely confident that it's going to go away? Yes, the answer is to that question. That's called faith. You don't need faith when you're healed. You don't need faith when your money's all there. You don't need faith when everything's working out. God told you, you can believe in the midst of hell on earth. But if you're here and you can honestly say, Pastor, I'm just telling you, check number one on this box. I don't believe that as much as the water's going to hit the ground. I know that water's going to hit the ground, but I don't know that I'll be healed. I don't know that I'll be free from this. Then I'm here to tell you, your faith needs work. Amen? And again, that's not to condemn you. That's not to make you feel like a nobody or some spiritual dummy. That's to point out and to highlight, it's time to do some work. Because without faith, you'll never receive your healing unless a gift of the Spirit operates. And we can't turn those on and off. They are as the Spirit wills. And in fact, God calls His children to live by a higher form than gifts of the Spirit. He gave us faith. Faith pleases God. It's more pleasing to God when you get it through faith and perseverance and stand your ground in the face of all the symptoms and all the doctors and all the feelings. It's more pleasing to God that way than you come up and get hands laid on you and a gift of the Spirit operates and takes it away. Why? Because faith pleases God. Amen. Amen. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that the receiving of the gifts of the Spirit please Him.
Yeah. Come on. That's good.
We know He's for it, but it doesn't say it. It tells you specifically that faith pleases Him. Well, I'm not convinced, Pastor Mike. Well, let me help you. Go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10 and verse 17. Praise the Lord. So I'm not sure, Pastor. Okay, well then here's your answer. So then, that's what I say to your unconfidence. So then, faith. What's faith? Fully persuaded. Remember what the Bible says about faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. is what it's the assurance, confidence. Well, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only remedy there is to that checkbox, the number one, that if you say I qualify for that, is more word in your life. You just don't have enough word in your life. Remember what Jesus said in John 8:32? He said, if you know the truth will set you free. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, truth will set you free. He said, known truth will set you free. Now, I remember one time I was getting ready for a meeting with some people they were dealing with. They told me what they were dealing with and struggling with. And this is what they said to me. They said, Pastor, I'll be interested in the scriptures that you give us because the scriptures that we already know are not working for us. I thought, wait a minute, the scriptures that I gave you are going to come from the same source, same Bible. What they were saying is, I can quote the Bible. I know of certain scriptures. I know the reference of them, but I don't truly know them. You say, how can you say they don't know them? Because the Bible says if you know it, you'll be set free. So eventually, there comes a knowing. Or as like Peter said, he said, eventually we have a more sure word of prophecy. Isn't that what the Bible says? Hallelujah. Let's find that reference there. Praise God. It's 1 Peter, I believe. I'm going to look that up. Go with me to 2 Peter. I told you it was 2 Peter. Just listen to me. We'll be all right around here. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. In verse 19. Now he's talking about visitations and things. I don't care if you can tell me Isaiah 53 verse 4. I don't care that you can quote 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. If you're not 100% sold out, like you were the bottle of water hitting the ground, you don't have faith. You don't. Say, but Pastor, you don't understand my symptoms and my situation. Doesn't matter. Faith doesn't get counted. You don't have to be in faith if the symptoms are real. No, that's when you need to be in faith. Amen. That's why it's called faith. You're believing for what you can't see. In fact, there might be things in your body that they actually put on there impossible. Doctor said there's no cure. So what am I saying? There's nothing in the natural that you can grab onto. That's why it's called faith. The evidence of things not seen. Amen. And so 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 says this. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto do well that you take heed. It's talking about the word of God. Remember what he said in James? He said, give heed unto the word of God. It may be able to save your souls. Take heed unto the word, the engrafted word. So he's saying take heed or give attention to it. This sure word of prophecy as a light unto that shines in a dark place until. He says give attention to the word. Because remember, people say, I know that scripture. I know that scripture. I know that scripture. Well, then why are you telling me that I'm not confident that my healing is going to come? Because you don't know enough. Give attention to it until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. That's called John 8:32. If you know the truth, you'll be set free. See, it's one thing to have a head knowledge about the word and about healing. It's another thing that when you're going through hell on earth, and your appendix exploded, you're in the hospital for 2 weeks and can't get out of bed, and you have symptoms in your body, and the doctors are telling you you're never going to be the same again, and in fact, some of these symptoms will not go away for a year. You're in trouble, pal. You waited too long to be able to lay in that bed and giggle under my breath as best I could and say, they don't know what I know. I'm not doubting the doctors, but they only know what they know. They can do their thing. I'll do my thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's like when Reverend Greer heard the testimony of Reverend Greer and his son. Reverend Greer's son went through hell on earth when he was a little baby. And he had died a few times. And Reverend Greer's standing off to the side. And Reverend Greer's doing his thing and contending and preaching faith and saying faith. And my son will not die. He'll live. And the doctors are doing everything they can to try to keep this child alive. And the doctors looked over at Reverend Greer and said, what are you doing? He said, don't you worry about me. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I sit there, laying there, sick, can't move, worst symptoms ever in my body, doctors telling me things going through my head, and guess what? I never thought for a second Now, there was temptation, tried to tempt me, but I never grabbed onto that thought. There's a difference. I never thought for a second I wouldn't be healed of that. Never thought for a second these things wouldn't change. It was rough at times, and it starts to mess with your head. But why? I had not just known about divine healing. I know about divine healing. Say, what's the difference? Well, Jesus said, if you'll know it, you'll be set free. What's that mean? You get the word. You give attention to the word. Faith comes by hearing. That means if you don't have faith for healing, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Box number one. You get in the word on healing scriptures. Everything we've looked at the last three services. And you get those in your heart, and you meditate on those, and you meditate on those, till you get a revelation in the midst of your symptoms, in the midst of your doctor's report, and you can say, I don't care what impossibilities they say. I don't care what problems they're saying. I don't care what symptoms I'm facing. Healing is mine. This thing has to change. There's no doubt. That's called faith. But you can't do that till the day star rises in your heart. But see, when you get that revelation, then you've been set free. Doesn't mean the symptoms are gone, but the setting free starts before the symptoms are gone. If you want the symptoms to go and the problem to go away, you've first got to get set free. What's set free? Being in faith in the midst of hell on earth. How do you get it? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. How long do you have to hear it? Till you have a revelation. Till the doctor, remember Abraham's revelation? Remember? He considered not his own body, now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. What's he saying? Doesn't matter what the natural's saying. I don't care how bad the natural looks. I know something. Amen. That's a faith person. If you say, I'm not there, if the symptoms trip you up, if the doctor's report trips you up, if that whole bottle thing is you, and you say, I don't believe this much, you need to know more word. You need to get the word in you and keep meditating on it until all of a sudden, bam, you get anointed. It's like a revelation. All of a sudden, something, it's all of a sudden like you change gears. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, doesn't matter what the symptoms say. Doesn't matter it's going worse. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. The word says, the word says, the word says. Amen. Amen. So that's number one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to real quick to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Take a little longer on this one, but I don't think the other ones will be as long. 1 Corinthians 11. This is a good day for me. You say, why? Well, I got a private batch of macaroni and cheese sitting in my vehicle waiting for me. So I was thinking about it as I was turning the pages. I can't wait to eat that stuff. Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, I told you I dropped faith at the hints enough, somebody will get on board. How many times have I been hinting about that macaroni and cheese? Finally, someone said, I'm sick of hearing them say it. I'm going to get them off my back. But I don't. They just blessed me. Praise God. It says, let a man examine himself and let him so eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We talked about this last week, that Jesus died on the cross. That communion, what is communion? Communion, the breaking of the bread, is a recognition of what Jesus' body did for us. It says, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. Not discerning. What's discerning mean? Understanding. The Lord's body. Well, we saw what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross, and he not only died for our sins, but he died for our sickness. Verse 30 says, for this cause. Well, what cause are you talking about? Because they didn't discern, or because Christians don't discern or understand the Lord's body, the Bible says that many are weak, sick, and sleep among us. And we said that's not taking a nap, that's dying. The Bible says that when people don't understand or know, that's what we're talking about, knowing, right? Having faith. When people don't know what Jesus did, the result in their body will be weakness, sickness, and premature death. And we don't want any of that stuff. Praise God. Well, what am I saying about knowing? Not only is knowing important, but I'll tell you what, it's important what church you go to. Say, so what are you talking about, Pastor? I know a lot of churches that do not preach about Jesus' body, about Jesus taking sickness and disease. I know. You say, are you just saying that to try to elevate your church? I'm not trying to elevate my church. I'm elevating the Word of God. Amen. We're not some special group of Christians. We should not be singled out and patting ourselves on the back because we preach the Bible. That should be the norm. But I know a lot of places where I came out of, she came out of, a lot of places that you've come out of, where they don't know anything about what Jesus did on the cross. They don't know. They know salvation, but they don't know the fact that he took their sickness. And the Bible says when you don't know, the result is weakness. The result is sickness. The result is death that was unnecessary. For many, it says, not for all, but for many. It didn't say a few either, though, did it? It said many people are dealing with sickness, disease, and early death for one fact: they don't know. So I'll tell you what, when I heard the minister say the church you go to is a matter of life and death, you're not kidding, it is. Right. Amen. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people that have unnecessarily been taken out of this world. I'm not saying everybody, that have been taken out of this world simply from sickness and disease because they didn't know what was available to them. Right. That's what he said in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So lack of faith has to do with knowing. The more you know, the bigger your faith will grow. Praise God. So that's number one. Are you ready for number two? Amen. John chapter 5 and verse 14. Actually, yeah, we'll go to 14. This is when Jesus, the pool of Bethesda, healed the man of 38 years. And Jesus found him in the temple after. Look what he said to him. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said to him, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing." Well, what was the thing that he was dealing with? An infirmity or a sickness of 38 years. Jesus said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing will come upon you." What's the second, another hindrance to divine healing? Sin in a person's life is a hindrance to divine healing. Now let me qualify what sin is. Sin is strictly disobedience to what God has said. We think in our heads sin is this word or sin is this act. Sin is any time you don't obey God. And the Bible here, through Jesus, said that sin is an open door to sickness. Well, doesn't the Bible say in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death, or the payment of sin is death? Praise God, it'll rob from you. Hallelujah. Jesus says here, sin no more, or a worse thing is going to happen to you. What's he saying? Sickness and disease can enter in when people don't obey God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. Now, I feel led to do this. How many of you know, I'm going to put you on the spot, Julie. I'm going to put her on the spot here. Testimonies are powerful. And at times, we need to hear some testimonies. Now, you say, oh, you're going to talk about Julie's sin, because we're talking about sin. Well, I'm going to clarify some things here. When Julie came to this church, what was it, 3 years ago? 4 years ago? She was a hurting unit in her body. Now, Julie could check off check number one and check number two, and the sin in her life was this: disobedience to having a pastor. I'm going to let her tell a story. I want to even give her a microphone and everything. Look at her. She's scared. But she's got to do this because the Holy Ghost needs her to do this. Praise the Lord. And I did tell her at some point I'd love for her to hear for people to hear her testimony. But she didn't have a clue. She had no discernment of what Jesus did for her. Now, here's my point. She loved the Lord. When she came to the church 4 years ago, she was in love with Jesus. She was born again. She was heaven-bound 4 years ago when she came. But she came to church in a hurting way, praise the Lord. So I'm going to give you a microphone, Julie, and if you would, which one's yours, Court? The one you left on. I'm just doing a real good guy up here. I'm a great pastor. We were talking about Star Wars before we came out. I mean, you talk about spiritual guy. Calling out people, calling out his wife, talking about Star Wars. I mean, you guys are in the right place. Come on up here if you would. Praise the Lord. She's a teacher. She's used to all this stuff. Just pretend they're all teenagers. But tell them your situation prior to coming and what happened and everything that changed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I used to go to Pastor Tim's church in Jamestown. I went there for probably 2 years.
That's why things were so bad.
Oh, stop it.
Just kidding.
Just things came up, and that was an hour drive for us, and we made the decision not to go to church anymore, and we just left any church. We
weren't Bill, turn that up, please.
We weren't going to any church for about 4 years. And in that 4 years, I started to, you know, I had asthma a little bit when I was a kid, but it really started to impact me more and more to the point where I was debilitated for a lot of the times, and it would take me months to recover. I was missing a lot of work. I was on every medication that like a COPD patient would take, I would take. I was taking breathing treatments every 5 hours, just craziness. It ruled my life. I couldn't pick up my daughter. I couldn't do stairs. If I was able to work, I came home from work and stayed in bed until I got back up from work, and that was my life. And one day I just knew, somebody said, I need to find a new church. And I was like, oh, I know a great church in South Dayton. Like, I don't go there, but I know it's great. And so I brought them here. And Pastor Mike, like, met us at our door because we beelined to the car as soon as it was over. And he was like, I'm so glad you came today. He said, Julie, because I knew him from the Jamestown Church, he said, you should really reach out to me. Like, send me a text this week. I have something that I feel like I'm supposed to tell you. And of course, I didn't do that. And it took me 3 weeks. And he said, I knew when I shook your hand that the reason why, you know, I had said that I'd been sick. And he's like, the reason why is because you're a sheep without a shepherd, and you need to plug in. And he didn't even have to say those words, because I knew that as soon as I sat in that seat that I was in the right place. And this has always been my home, and, you know, I'm not really missed since. So that was the biggest thing. I was very sick in my body, but it was, for me, because I was out of the will of God, not being plugged into a church and having a pastor.
What was I teaching on when you first came?
So I showed up for that first service, and it was a service about receiving the things of God. But then the very next service, like the service that I was consecrated to say, this is my church, I'm going back, he did a 6-week healing series. And within that 6 weeks, I went up and he laid hands on me, and I was miraculously healed. Like, all at once, all the medications gone, everything. So yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. My point of that is two things. If anybody can beat a dead horse and rehash things, it's this guy. She uses a word there that, I'm not trying to correct her, but she said miraculously healed. She got healed when she obeyed God and when she heard the word on healing that she had never heard before. What did she do? She checked off one and two things that were hindrance for her healing. I'm not asking for the church you used to go. Did they used to teach on divine healing? I'm not talking about Pastor Tim's church. I know that. But like other places you went, did you hear on divine healing? No. Didn't teach on it. Came to church not knowing what Jesus had done for her. That was number one, lack of faith for healing. Number two was out of the will of God. Sin, right? Say, is it really sin to not go to church and not have a pastor? Yeah, anytime you don't do God's word. Here she is, completely debilitated. Medication for someone that would be on 30-some years old, can't walk upstairs, can't pick her daughter up, missing a ton of time of work. And are you on any medication now for it? Do you have any of those issues anymore? No. Completely free. Why? Because God loves her more? No, because she did number one and number two. She got into the know and then started to obey God. Praise the Lord. Sin is a door opener, people. Hallelujah. What is God saying to you? See, if you think, forgive me for my boldness, sort of. If you think that your life is going to live above the levels of what God's word says, but you won't do the word, but your life in your situation is going to trump that, you are sadly mistaken and completely deceived. Amen. Hallelujah. If he says people are scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed. I know a lot of people who are born again, who are heaven bound, who are scattered, faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, stressed out because they don't have a shepherd. If you think, and I've told people this, that your life's going to get better. Now again, if I preach to you one every 7 weeks, one every 6 weeks, I'm not your shepherd. Shepherd's a feeder. And if you don't have a shepherd, stop wondering why my life is the way it is. Now, I'm preaching to the choir here because you're here. And I don't mean people that are missing today. But there are people, I wonder why, just not working out. Well, number one, you're in disobedience to God. well, God's just going to bless me. No, he's not. He's not going to go over top of his word for you.
That's right. Amen.
He loves you, though. That's, again, not to beat on people. It's to pull people up. But people say, why is this always happening? Why am I always dejected? Why am I always distressed? Why am I always feel like I'm always being harassed by everything? You're disobedient. You've opened the door and the devil's come right in and messed with you. You've not submitted. Amen. She had to submit to God. And I'm not saying just with Pastor. What has God told you? Is there anybody in here that God's been nudging you? Pastor says all the time, it's the will of God to serve. It's the will of God to serve. It's the will of God to serve. So God's been nudging you. Serve, 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 serve. And you don't do it. That's disobedience. That's opening the door. What about tithing? Tithing. God's saying tithe. God's saying give offerings. God said to do this with your money. Say, nope, 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 nope. I'm not going to do it. You're opening the door. Jesus said right here, sin can cause sickness to come here. You're just trying to scare me. Well, sorry, if it doesn't scare you to not do the word of God, you already have a problem. You should be afraid not to do God's word. If he said that, Jesus didn't mince words with this guy, did he? He didn't tiptoe around the tulips with him for afraid of. He said, stop sinning. You keep sinning, it's going to get worse for you, buddy. That's what he said. What is sin? Any disobedience to God at all. Say, well, do we have to be perfect? No. But I'm saying when you recognize what you're doing and you recognize you're wrong, you readjust and get in line, praise the Lord. Amen. Come on now. Just trying to help people. So lack of faith or knowing and sin. I just thank you for that testimony, Julie. That's amazing. And I could call other people up here to give their testimony. It said when they came to church, got a pastor, and actually started doing the word. I mean, I could bring Jake up here, tell you where how his life. Someday we'll have to do that until Jake can tell. I mean, some of the stuff might be, we might have to get the kids out of here. Right? He had a life like me, you know, just hell on earth. Did the word and God adjusted and God turned some things. Works for anybody. Amen. Go to Mark chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Start having more people testify, you know. And again, you might think, oh my gosh, look how he embarrassed Julie. No, I gave her heads up. I told her I might be calling her up. And so I would never do that to anybody. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 5. Unless the Spirit of God said, do it now, then I'm doing whatever he says. Amen. But the Spirit of God's not into embarrassing people. So don't worry and think, oh God, I don't ever want to tell Pastor a testimony. He's going to give me that mic. I know he's going to. If you tell me not to, I'll just share it from my knowledge of it, you know. Praise God. We need to hear testimonies. When God does stuff in your life, we need to hear it. Amen. We need to hear it. Praise God. Mark chapter 5, in verse, just for time's sake, verse 34. Can we pull that up? Read it in the King James, and then we'll look at the Amplified. This is the woman with the issue of blood. Remember, she was sick for 12 years, had an encounter with Jesus, now she's healed. Well, look what Jesus said. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole. Peace, whole. Peace, whole. Peace, whole. Michelle, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? Go into peace and be continually freed, or healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. What's he saying? He's saying, lady, you're healed now. But if you want healing to stay in your life's going to have to look a certain way. It can't be chaotic. It can't be filled with anxiety. It can't be filled with stress. It can't be filled with fear. What are all these things? Antonyms of peace. It can't be filled with worry and doubt. Jesus said, lady, if you want to keep it, you got to be in peace. What's he saying? A life of no peace is a life of sickness and disease. A door opener to those things. Remember the story that I told you about Pastor Nancy? That she started to get symptoms in her body. And it was during a time where it was real busy and she had places to be and things to do. And it was not, I mean, it's never a good time to get sick, but you know, there are times where it's like, I got things like this just can't happen. It was one of those times in her life. So she was afraid, what's going to happen if I can't meet these responsibilities that I have, these commitments that I have? What's going to happen? She started to get fearful. So she started quoting every healing scripture she knew. And she knows a lot because that lady knows the word. And she's quoting Isaiah 53 and Psalms 103 and Proverbs 4 and Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 and Exodus 15. She's quoting all the heavy hitters of healing. And she gets sick and cannot fulfill those commitments. Well, she does what a lot of people don't do when they come up against a hard time. She asks God for an answer. Isn't that amazing? She asked, I said, Lord, I don't understand. You know that I believe that you're a healer. You know that I know that healing belongs to the children of God. Lord, I quoted the scriptures. I said the word, and you said, I'll have what I say. But Father, I got sick anyways. And she did it with humility. She said, I know the problem's not with you. Some of you need to understand the problem's not with him. You get discouraged and frustrated and mad at him, you are wasting your time. The problem is never on his end. Ever on his end. And to get mad and disgruntled, it's like the lady, Pastor Nancy's financial gal that works for her and ran into this woman that became disgruntled and stopped going to church. Had miracles and things happen in her life. Stopped going to church because she got disgruntled and things. And she ran into the lady and this lady, Pastor Nancy's gal said, where have you been? How's everything going? Why aren't you at church anymore? She said, because I'm mad at God. You know that noise. And you know what Pastor Nancy's gal looked there and said? How's that working for you? How's it working to be frustrated and mad at him? And to be upset at him? And angry at him? Oh, why this? Why that? It's not his problem. When it comes to divine healing, he's always the healer. He's always ready, he's always willing, and he's always able. Every single time. The hindrances are on our end, and we need to figure them out. Praise God. And so she said, Lord, I know it's not on your end. You're a healer all the time. I know it's not the word's end. The word works all the time. That's a humble and knowledgeable Christian to say that. She said, so what's the problem? He said, yeah, you believe it, and I am. And you did confess it. He said, but I said, you shall have whatsoever you say when you're in faith. You got to believe, right? He said in Mark chapter 11. He didn't just say words cause things to turn around. He said words laced with belief turn things around. He said, you were confessing, not from a place of foundation, of a solid foundation, but an unsteady foundation of worry, doubt, and unbelief. You weren't confessing my word based on a place of peace. You are confessing my word based on a place of fear. Fear is not faith. Her words were not faith words. When you hear something about your kids or you see something about your money, you're like, oh my gosh, he'll meet all my needs. Pastor said he would. By his stripes, I'm healed. Oh God, by his stripes, I'm healed. That's not faith. You're confessing from a place of worry and fear. Those are not faith words. And Jesus said, you'll have what you say, what you believe you say, what you believe you pray. Amen. People that criticize the name it and claim it gospel. That's what they call us, word of faith people. Oh, you're just name it and claimers. Well, we do name and claim things that are ours in the word, but if we don't name them and claim them in faith, we don't get them. We don't just say anything we want and it comes to pass. No, because our words have to be laced with belief. And he said, you confess from a place of worry, fear. Well, what's that? That's not peace. What did Jesus tell this woman? If you're not in peace, some people's lives are so stinking chaotic. Some people's lives are so out of order and so much worry and doubt and stressful and anxious, and they're wondering why their healing is eluding them. Peace must first be obtained. Every time symptoms come on my body or I hear of a negative thing, I remember that story. I don't just go jumping off into confessing for money and jumping off and just rambling because we think that our many words will turn the thing around. It's not our many words. A simple faith word can turn the whole thing around. One simple faith word in faith can turn it around. I don't go jumping off. I make sure first, after I've heard that story, make sure I'm not in worry over this. And if I am, I deal with the worry. Make sure I'm not in fear over this. Make sure I'm not stressed over this. Get myself in a place of faith. That's my foundation. And then I start quoting. Amen. One is lack of faith. Two is sin. Three is lack of peace. Go to Galatians 5 and verse 6. I'm going to rattle these off real quick. Just take notes. I don't want to be here forever. Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works or is activated and energized, the Bible says in the Amplified, by love. Well, we already talked about that you need faith. Well, Paul said this. He said, I can have faith so that I can remove mountains. I'll tell you, that's mountain. That's faith. Mountain moving faith, right? Paul said, I can believe. You can be 100% sold out that God's a healer and that healing is for you and that you won't have that sickness the rest of your life. But Paul said this. He said, though I have faith that I can remove mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Big deal how big your faith is. If your love walk's messed up, don't matter how big your faith is. Don't matter how big your truck is, if you don't have the key.
Come on. That's
good. Amen. Yeah. Don't matter what that truck can do. No matter how fancy the wheels are and the four-wheel drive and all the stereo system you got it and sports car you got. I was in a city not too long ago and someone drove by me, this loud car. I looked and it was a purple Lamborghini. I had never seen one with my eyes. That thing. I want to take that for a ride. Can you imagine what you could do with that thing? Oh, man, just shifting that thing and the noise that thing made. I was like, I'd never seen a car that's a few $100,000. It was amazing, you know. Not that I would want one. But doesn't matter how sweet that sports car is if you don't have the key. Big deal. I believe in healing. I know all the verses and I'm convinced. Yeah, but if your love walk stinks, it's going to hinder your faith. And when your faith is hindered, your healing is hindered. Forgiveness, I've used this story a lot, but it's true. Forgiveness is an act of love. It's walking in love. The gentleman that talked 2 years ago had a shoulder problem. He said, Pastor, I knew all the healing scriptures. I believe God for healing. I know what the word says. I know I'm his child. I know Jesus paid. I went to the big name ministers that have healing anointings, that have healing crusades, that get results. He said, I've had them lay hands on me. I've confessed the word for years. And my shoulder was not getting any better, but getting worse. He said, finally, I got tired of it. I was driving in the car one day thinking about all this, and my pain hurt so bad, I slammed my hands on the steering wheel, threw my hands up in the air and said, Father, why am I not being healed? Again, because why? The problem's not on his end. It's something we have to make an adjustment. And the Lord said, up through his spirit, said, you won't forgive your father for what he done to you years ago. Well, what is unforgiveness? Unforgiveness and bitterness and grudge holding is a step out of love. When you step out of love, you shut your faith down. Why? Because faith is only activated and energized. That means it keeps going by love. Go ahead and get into strife. Go ahead and be bitter. Go ahead and spread rumors about people. Go ahead and talk bad about people behind their back. You can do that if you want to, but you're stepping right out of love. And when you step out of love, your faith is hindered, not just for your healing, for your finances, for your kids, for the favor in your life, for the protection in your life. Love walk is a hindrance to divine healing. Amen. Don't say yes if you are, but anybody out there 4 for 4 so far? If you are, praise God, you're getting your help. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying, let's get this stuff fixed. The Holy Ghost brought these up for a reason. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I told you that point only took 3 minutes. I told you, I'm going to get these done here real quick. Philippians chapter 2. Praise God. Let's see. Let's go to 25. Philippians 2:25. Oh, this is a good one here. Paul said, I supposed it was necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor. What's he saying? Fellow Christian, fellow soldier. But your messenger, and he ministered to many of my wants. So he's saying this guy was a blessing. Verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he had been sick. Well, he needs healing, doesn't he? For indeed, verse 27 says, he was sick unto death. His sickness was so bad, he was on the verge of dying. But God had mercy on him, and not only him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. It was a blessing to Paul that he stay alive. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. Verse 29. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Here it is. Because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death. And you say, oh my gosh, we better pray for Pastor. He's doing the work of Christ. He's going to croak. I know you're all thinking that because you love me so much and you don't want that to happen. Say amen, Pastor. That'd be a great place to amen me. When I say you love me so much and don't want me to croak early, that would be a great time for every person to say amen. Amen. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't want it to happen to you either. Whew. Help me. You say, wow, the ministry caused people to die. No, that's not why he died, because of the ministry. The next line is why he almost died. Not regarding his life. The ministry doesn't make you sick and kill you. Right. Not regarding your life can make you sick and kill you. What's my next point? You know another hindrance to divine healing? A lack of wisdom. It's like the doctor that the minister that went to the doctor and they said, hey, blood pressure, cholesterol is high, whatever. Came back 6 months later and the problem was fixed. And the doctor was shocked. He said, how'd this happen? And they said, just did what you said. The doctor said, nobody does what I say. What am I saying? If somebody has a blood pressure problem that leads to a heart attack that leads to death, and the doctor said, hey, start exercising. Start eating better. And your blood pressure will be fixed and your heart will be okay. And they don't do that. That's not regarding your life. If somebody has a crazy, terrible diet and their cholesterol is shooting through, I'm believing God for healing. Where's my seventh Big Mac? Give me more bacon. I'm believing God for healing. Somebody never takes a day off and violates the law of rest in the Word and just continues to push themselves. The body wasn't made for that. In fact, God was our example. He said on the seventh day, he rested. Amen? Somebody never gets any rest, never takes any time off, just push, push, push. Your body's not meant for that. And I heard one minister say it this way, and I'll never forget it. You better take time to rest before you're forced to rest. You know why a lot of people are sick? They just don't regard their body. That's why he was sick. Not because of the ministry. Not because of the devil. Oh, not because of the devil even. Oh, the devil did this to me. No, your eating did. No, your laziness did. No, your lack of regarding your life did it for you. Don't blame the devil. The devil gets blamed for a lot of things that he shouldn't be blamed for. Lack of wisdom. People put things in their body. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Not doing that. Amen. Am I helping anybody? What are we doing? We're just looking at our lives, trying to figure it out. Praise God. Not regarding his life. You know, I'm a minister, and ministers aren't exempt from regarding their life. I can't use the excuse, I never get time off, I never get any rest. In fact, that's the one of the major areas the Lord has corrected me over the past few years is you need to slow down. That's why we take off occasional Wednesdays. That's why I take off occasional Tuesdays. That's why we have people come in at times and fill the pulpit. It's not because I'm lazy. It's not because I don't want to be here. I want to be here every single service. Man, I am a church junkie. I love going to church. But there are times I just need to shut it down. Why? Because I can't say, well, I'm in the ministry. Everything will be okay. No, this guy probably thought the same thing. I'm doing the work of God. I'll run my body into the ground. Well, he almost died because of it. And let me just say this to those people out there that you don't understand my life and I don't have time to rest. That's not my problem. You got to figure that out. God didn't say, well, you know, I'll give you an exemption if you're busy. He didn't say that, did he? No, you got to regard your life, people. It takes faith to rest because, you know, there's this connotation that when you rest, you're lazy and you're... No. It takes faith to rest, praise God. And last but not least, go to Acts 10:38. This is a life-changing message today for divine healing. Acts 10:38. The last hindrance to healing is the devil. There are times that the enemy just come and attack you with sickness. You could be checking off all five of those boxes. Amen. When the devil come and attack you, and say, well, man, what do I do then? Well, then you take authority over the devil. Praise God. But don't cooperate with him. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Go to Luke 13 and verse 11. Luke 13 and verse 11, real quick. Luke 13 and verse 11 says this. I'm sorry, go to verse 12. We have to back up. Wait, where did I say to go? 13:11. So yeah, Luke 13:11. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. Doesn't say that she was lazy. Doesn't say that she was running her body. It doesn't say that she was walking out of love. Doesn't say that she was had lack of peace in her life. Does it? Doesn't say she was sinning. Says that she had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years, was bowed together, no wise lift herself up. Well, look what it says in verse 16. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound? Remember in the Bible, there are people with deaf and dumb spirits causing the sickness and disease? If you could say, check, 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 I'm doing good in all these areas, and sickness is in your body, tell Satan to take his nasty hands off you. And you just walk and you just receive healing the same way as the other ones. But telling Satan to take his hands off you, but then open the door to all these other areas is going to hinder you. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, next week we're going to look at how, now that we learned to get the hindrances out, how to walk into divine healing and how to keep your healing. It'll be a good service. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we just thank you for showing us these things. Father, even if we have every single one of these things that we can say we're guilty of them all, Father, praise God for our help. Repentance is available and change is available. Today's a brand new day. We can start brand new. Brand new. It's not too late. Every day is brand new. You said your mercies are new every morning. That means when we woke up this morning, it doesn't matter what we did the prior 40 years. Doesn't matter what happened the prior 12 years. Doesn't matter what happened the prior 60 years. It is brand new. It's an opportunity to go forward with you and to walk in all that you have for us. Praise God. Only you are that kind. Only you are that merciful. You are not holding things against us. You are only trying to lift us up and bring us higher. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We talk about divine healing, and thank God for divine healing. But there's a greater promise that he gives us that's part of the package deal. Hallelujah. And that is called salvation. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, those of you that are in this service and listening on live stream right now or in the future on the archive, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Would I go to heaven, or I'm not sure where I would go? When I ask myself that question, I know without a shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. And you say, Pastor, how can you be so sure? Because I did what God said to do in the Bible. And it had nothing to do with church attendance. It had nothing to do with the giving of my money. It had nothing to do with if my good deeds outweighed my bad. The Bible says, if I will believe and receive Jesus, I'll be saved. That's it. That's the qualification. So if you're here this morning and you could say, I don't know, Pastor, if I go to heaven, or I don't think so, or I'm not sure. Man, I want you to be 100% sure because God provided it for you. So how can I know for sure? Two qualifications, believe and receive. Number one, you must believe in Jesus. That doesn't mean you have to know everything about the Bible. It doesn't mean you have to understand everything that Jesus did. But in the deepest recesses of your heart, you can say, I believe Jesus was real. I believe he died, and I believe he rose again. If you can say that, that you qualify for the first condition of being saved. The second one is just receiving Jesus. He said, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. See, believing's not enough because the devil believes in Jesus. He knows Jesus is real. He knows he died. He knows he rose again. But the devil's not going to heaven. Why? He'll never receive Jesus. So you can't just believe, you also have to receive Him. And heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. I promise you I won't embarrass you. I promise you I won't have you stand up, say anything on your own, or come forward. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I want to get sure. And I meet those qualifications. I do believe in Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive the Lord this morning, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Again, you're not joining this church. You're not becoming a member. You don't have to come back here ever again. You're just declaring, I believe and I want to receive. Is there anybody at all with heads bowed and eyes closed before we close the service that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life and you want to do it? Anyone, just lift your hand high in the air and put it down. Anybody at all? Father, as I look around the room, I don't see any hands. So I trust that everybody in here is born again. But if by chance there's someone here and maybe they didn't want to raise their hand, maybe they're shy or maybe they just... Not into that, you know, and don't want to do it that way. Or if there's someone listening by live stream now or in the future that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus their Savior. And if you're wondering, how do I do that, Pastor? Will you give me direction? Simply cry out to Him with all your heart and simply say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe You died. I believe You rose again. I believe fully in You, Jesus. That's the first qualification. The next one is to say, Lord, I ask You to come into my heart. I receive You now. If you'll do that, Jesus will come in. He'll cleanse you. You'll become a child of God. You'll be heaven bound. Praise God. And if you pray that for the very first time, please let me know. Our number's on the website. Our email's on the website. If you just Google Family Church South Dayton, shoot me a text. Give me a phone call. Shoot me an email. Let me know. And we'll get you set up in the next step of your life, which is planning in a Bible teaching church and learning about all that God has for you. It doesn't have to be here, but it should be a Bible teaching church. Can we just all stand to our feet and rejoice and thank God before we close? Thank Him for our help this morning. Thank You for utterance. There was utterance today to keep people safe, to keep people blessed. We love You and praise You and glorify You. You're so good. You show up every time, Father. You show up. It just amazes me how faithful You are. And it shouldn't amaze me, but it's so wonderful. You show up every single time we meet. Every time we meet. And we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Don't forget, there's a smorgasbord over there. And you sound people, just kind of, I'll let you know when Pastor Scott's here and we'll get the meeting going. So you are dismissed.